welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us around the table with South County Outreach, where we take you on a journey deep into the heart of the organization's mission to combat poverty and uplift our community with the man who just does both every week here, Laval Burton. What did I say? Laval Brewer. I was making you Laval Burton here.
Oh, please don't make me Laval Burton. It's already hard enough. The last time we were talking, I was the one tripping up on things. And today, You're starting it out.
I'm getting it out of the way.
And you're the professional.
They say.
I'm just a novice. Come on. What's going on here? Well, good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, and good to see you brought somebody in. Been here before, talked about what they do.
It's my good friend Taryn, who everyone's going to want to know after this podcast if they did not know. Yeah. She is the Money Bros.
Yeah.
Money
Bros. Yeah.
But we got to start. I got to open the show. Hi, I'm Laval Brewer, and this podcast is not just about showcasing our work. It's about inviting you, our listeners, to join us in our mission by offering a sneak peek into the values that shape our poverty prevention efforts. We hope to inspire you to become more involved in creating positive change in our community. And today I have my good friend Taryn with me. Taryn is the executive director of the Orange County Grantmakers. And Taryn, how are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, God. You know what? How can we not have you? And everyone's going to think we're going to talk about fundraising, which I think is so much fun because we're not.
We are not.
Yes, we're not. Which is super cool because, you know, as a nonprofit, we're supposed to talk about fundraising all the time.
And with an organization with the name Grantmakers, everyone thinks that I have lots of money, but I don't.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, if I invite her, can get more money? And I was like, no, she's told me already you can't get more money. I'm just kidding. I never thought that. But for those of you who thought this is a fundraising conversation, it is not. It is a conversation about equity.
Yes.
It's a conversation about equity. Now, the reason why we invited you is because Orange County Grantmakers has made it very clear in the community that this E word is super important and we should be paying attention to it. Well, tell us more about that.
Yeah, a couple years ago, the funders, so I guess I should start with who OCG is.
Oh, yeah, Orange County Grantmakers. You can do that. Go ahead.
Orange County Grantmakers is not a fundraising organization. Mm-hmm. We are the Regional Association of Funders and Grantmakers in Orange County. So what that means is if you are somebody who does give, you can be a member of Orange County Grantmakers. And our role is to be a community for funders, philanthropists, corporate social responsibility leaders, so that they have a space to have dialogue and conversation. We occasionally support some pooled grant making. However, the organization itself does not make grants, which is very confusing since our name is Orange County Grantmakers. But we are the community of grantmakers in Orange County. So with that, I will say a couple years ago, we came together to establish a new strategic plan that really centered our work around equity. Mm. And the reason being is so many of our funders are giving to issues that have direct impact in Orange County on issues of equity. Mm. And right, that covers everything. So that covers housing and homelessness and food security and environment and immigration and early childhood. Now, because there are so many topics there, it would be easy to get lost, right? And to just say, we cover everything. So how do we focus our funders, our members' work in one specific way? We decided to center it around equity. And what that means is we are going to encourage all of our members to give in a way that specifically addresses the needs of our community to ensure everyone is receiving what they need in Orange County to be successful and give back to their community as well.
Got it. So we're not going to do the DEI conversation today. We're going to stick on this the one E. But just to help people through that conversation, you have the pictures of the fence, and you have all kinds of metaphors around it. And the reality is that, if I'm understanding correctly, what you're really saying is, pay attention.
Yeah. Pay attention. Know what's going on in the community. Mm-hmm. Don't give because it's what you want to do or because what you think is cool, but give in a way that matches the needs of the population here.
Yeah, that's simple to figure out, right? Mm-hmm. That's simple to figure out. So we're going to let me pull it back into here. We're going to get back into kind of what your members are thinking, what they're talking about. But just to sit on the Grantmakers, there's Southern California Grantmakers also.
Yes.
And that's a pretty large organization.
It is. Yeah, which is amazing. So they represent 9 counties. They have 35 staff in this beautiful building in LA, and I look up to them a lot. Orange County Grantmakers is the regional association just for Orange County. So our members give at least $100,000 or more to our community directly. We only serve the Orange County area. We are not looking beyond our borders. Now, oftentimes we'll learn from our neighbors. We'll have funders who are located in LA, but our focus is those who are giving into this community, the border of Orange County, from north to south to inland to the beach. But we really don't go beyond that. And I think the really amazing thing that creates for us is that we get to know the people here.
Yeah.
So unlike other areas that have such a wide swath to serve and have so many constituents and partners, we're pretty focused. And what's unique about Orange County is we have a really tight community here. I always joke, everyone knows each other once you get into the nonprofit and philanthropic space. I think that's no more evident than at things like OCG's Mega Mixer that we just hosted.
Yeah.
You have what feels like a big family reunion because our community is large enough to matter, but small enough to get things done and for relationships and authentic relationships to build.
Yeah. So we're going to pull into this. We're going to come back to this question because we have a conference that's coming up soon. We're going to talk about that. But so as you've been in our pantry, you've seen our home intervention work, you know how it feels and looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an equity conversation.
Yes, it is.
For us, when we think about food and our home intervention work, but food in particular because it's very forward facing, the amount of times that our clients walk in and they're now not amazed as much anymore because they've become used to the environment, which if you haven't been in the pantry, we have some videos online. You can check out our reel. You can see the inside of it. But it feels like a small grocery store. In particular, it feels like a scaled-down Trader Joe's.
Yes, it does.
Last time we had our podcast with Russ Klein, and he was talking about unreasonable hospitality. And I'm going to pull those two together here.
Okay.
When you think about a scaled-down Trader Joe's for a pantry, you would think that's unreasonable. You'd be fine with some tables. You'd be fine with the food in crates. You'd be fine with what people would get. And our conversation is, that is not the equity we want.
No, fine is not what we should be targeting.
No. If I have, and I say this all the time, for those of you who've heard it before, I'm sorry. If I have the ability to choose when I go to the grocery store because I have resources, not unlimited resources, not extravagant resources, but I have resources. And I have the ability to choose where I even get to go to get that food. And variety within the store. Why should someone without money not have that same, I would say, luxury?
Yeah.
Why would they have to have less unreasonable hospitality? The hospitality that says, we love you, we want you here. Not only we love you, we want you here, but we're going to show it to you by the environment that you live in. That is, for us, a picture of equity.
Yes.
I know the Orange County Grantmakers has a food-focused organization, and you have some housing-focused organizations, but when you think about just that conversation of unreasonable hospitality and the ability to let someone who has less than feel like they have as much as, how does that fit into the equity conversation?
It's about dignity. Right? Mm-hmm. Equity is making sure people have what they need to be successful, and that is not limited to basic needs. People need more than that, right? Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that every single person in our community feels whole, feels human, feels respected. Having the opportunity to go to someplace like your pantry and have dignity in their shopping experience is so important to their whole person experience. I think one of the things that OCG has been looking at and thinking about is that while, yes, we do have issue tables and conversations around specific things, they are not siloed. There are so many interconnected issues, right? We know things like social determinants of health and whatnot. But the idea behind that is you cannot say that somebody only has a challenge or a need in this one area, because oftentimes it is so much more than that. So from an equity lens, it's how do we support a whole person, whether that is their housing resources or their food needs, or just how they are feeling in this community. Because at the end of the day, we know that uplifting individuals to become members of society who can give back in the best way possible, they have to feel supported in every single way. So I think one of the things that we're looking at, and what's so wonderful about the choice model, is that it gives that feeling to an individual that they are not accepting charity. Mm-hmm. They are not less than. They are getting a hand up. And don't we all need a hand up?
Yeah, we sure do. I could say something I heard politically today, but I don't want to divide us.
But equity should not be a political discussion.
It should
right?
not be. It should not be. And it was a good statement. It really was. So fascinating. The reason why I say that is when nonprofits look at grant makers and grantors, we look up to them. We go, oh, okay, if they need to know us and this and that, this will happen. And grant makers have a tendency to go, yeah, you're doing great. We love you. We're going to keep funding you. Hey, you need to improve a little bit, and I don't even know who you are. And there's some level of truth to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I'm getting at is for the nonprofits who are hearing this, and they're thinking, well, how do I fit into this conversation that all these grant makers are having now together mm-hmm. with a shared vision of what this might be, but delivery is different by each group. How does a community or a nonprofit go, how do I fit into that? How do I understand that?
Yeah, I think one of the things we talk about all the time is this opportunity for collaboration and discussion. Mm. I think we know that in Orange County, there's something like more than 9,000 nonprofits.
Right.
So there are lots and lots of nonprofits doing amazing work, and there are only so many funders and only so much money to go around. That means that it's true. Funders are always trying to figure out, how do I support where the most impact is happening? One of the best ways to do that is to figure out how to partner, collaborate, and have conversations with other nonprofits. Mm. Because everyone has a role, yes, but if you are duplicating and not talking to anyone else and not learning from others, it's going to be really hard to set yourself apart. One of the things that we find so valuable is when nonprofits can come together and say, yes, this is where I am an expert, this is what I'm good at, but I'm willing to look at the larger landscape and see how I as a nonprofit fit into that space. Mm-hmm. And that allows then the funders to say, okay, when I look at this landscape, who are all the partners who are playing together nicely with mm-hmm. the true goal of uplifting the community or addressing a need and not just trying to go after money for money's sake?
That's another example of equity from the foundation's point of view, in that the smaller nonprofits who are trying to figure out how to get funded from a grant or a funder, to hear that if I partner with another organization, that's a good thing.
That's a benefit. It's not something that people should be running away from.
Yeah.
In fact, I think there's this idea of competition and
scarcity
mindset. And we used to joke that there's a wall between the funders of those who have and the nonprofits of those who have not. Now, I'm not saying that wall's gone, but I'm saying one of the things that OCG has been really focused on is building those authentic relationships outside of the ask, mm-hmm. both between nonprofits and among nonprofits and the funders, and then funders and nonprofits all together, so that when the time comes for a funding ask, it's not out of the blue. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-off. It is through developed relationships that are rooted in actual actionable tracking and programs that we can see have impact in the community.
I saw that a couple of weeks ago. You had a roundtable around housing.
We did.
You had a roundtable about housing. There's a huge equity issue around housing. Can you elevate what the funders are hearing and saying around housing versus what government is saying around housing versus what nonprofits are saying around housing? So from the funders' point of view, on the equity side, what's the conversation there?
Right now, the conversation is about learning what are the roadblocks to making housing happen. So housing is a really unique challenge because, to be honest, philanthropic dollars are probably not the answer.
No, they're not.
Housing is too expensive. You are not going to have a funder who can step in and solve housing. Even the biggest funder is not going to have the resources to do that. Housing is one of those really unique situations that has to include public entities, government money, philanthropic dollars, city participation, whatnot. Our housing issue table is one of our newest ones. We just launched it this year. Right now, what the funders are trying to do is learn the mechanics behind housing can actually happen. What are the challenges? What are the roadblocks? What is being funded right now from the city or from government? Mm-hmm. Which then leads to, what are the gaps? Because oftentimes philanthropic dollars are better used to fill gaps rather than to fill the whole need.
Right.
So the funders are having that conversation. I think one of the things that nonprofits are learning is that philanthropy is not necessarily the answer.
Yeah, it's not going to solve a problem.
It's not going to solve the problem. And then one of the things we're talking about with cities is actually that education as well. Government oftentimes does think that philanthropy can be the answer. And so we've been doing a lot of education with not really. We're here to support. We're here to do gap filling. We're here to perhaps provide some of the services that go along with housing that is so needed to make sure that the housing program is successful. But we're not going to be the root cause, the root solving necessarily for that issue. So our housing issue table is very much in that learning stage of taking the funders to say, let's see how this project works. Okay, what were the mechanics behind that? Who are the nonprofits? What were the conversations that happened over the last year, 2 years, 5 years to get to this point? And then what is it trying to address?
I'm hearing you correctly. Government helps to fund with developers the building of units.
Exactly.
The nonprofits are facilitating and filling up the gaps within that space. And the way that the nonprofits do that is possibly partnering with funders as well as the city, as well as their individual donors, to close that gap so that those who are getting housing services, who are living in those units, either are prevented from falling back into homelessness or they are able to continue to thrive within their space.
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the things we're really trying to look at and learn from is that one nonprofit should not be expected to be the end-all, be-all for everything. That's where that collaboration comes into place. The strongest and most successful programs are ones that pull from a variety of nonprofits' strengths, use those strengths to fill in and work with others so that no nonprofit feels like it has to do everything.
Yeah.
No one funder feels like it has to fund everything, but it can all come together for the community.
Now, I'm going to say something on this podcast I never do. I'm going to tell you an idea that we have
for the future.
So any of you nonprofits, funders, you know, that hear this idea, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and make it happen, because we're not going to be the only ones. We've been thinking about permanent supportive housing in particular. And those who will live in permanent supportive housing are going to need wraparound services. So when the permanent supportive housing gets built, or even the affordable housing gets built, that there's a community space built in for nonprofits to then fill in that gap but not own. So we're thinking, can we bring, when they build one, can you give us 1,000 square feet, 800 square feet, and we will then fill a pantry for those residents in the, and normally they're in areas where other affordable housing are, for others to come and get their food from where they are, from close to their homes.
Amazing.
So how do we do that? The housing gets built. We get the food. Second Harvest, our Orange County Food Bank, provides us with the food. We then get the food, bring it to the location. We then support the person who's in that location, who is the provider, to live into that. And then hopefully there's another provider that's talking about housing resources. There's another provider that's talking about health and wellness. There's another provider that's showing them how to cook and how to prepare. That shared philosophy of how do we support a community where they are, which is another equity conversation for us.
It is. We hear all the time, the pantry is great, but it's too far for me to get there, or it's not open after I get off of work. So how does that help? I know this is something that's very near and dear to your heart. I think one of the wonderful things that we've seen about South County Outreach is that you have that resource board. So when somebody comes in to get food, they also get those other services and needs addressed. Now, a hub model sounds amazing, because we also want to make sure that people are not left in food deserts. People are provided what they need at an easy, accessible location so that they're not having to miss out on other opportunities or work to fill those basic needs.
And the food resources they get are nutritious, culturally appropriate.
And they know how to cook it.
Those things are, how do we do those things so that they're helpful? This has been wonderful talking about equity in the two spaces that we live in. I know there's so many other equitable conversations we could have, but these are the two we're talking about today.
Yes.
So we're going to get to the end of this in that we're going to ask some questions. We ask everyone these three questions. So I'm going to repeat them just so you have them, but I know we sent them to you ahead of time.
Okay.
But you're a busy person. I won't say where you just came from a couple of weeks ago. So who influences you?
Okay.
Then the second is your favorite food from childcare. Childhood, not childcare. But if you're in childcare, you can talk about that too. There's some delicious snacks. And then the last is, who would you like to sit with around at your table?
Okay, so influences me, honestly, It is the community that I work with. I have one of the coolest jobs in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And if anybody knows my background, I came to it by luck. I cold emailed a bunch of people. Some wonderful women answered my emails. Mm-hmm. I fell into this job. And now I get to work with people who are committed to doing good things for Orange County every day. And yeah. So I am always trying to keep up with the nonprofits that I see. I always joke, like, I'm willing to go to coffee with anyone. Mm-hmm. It's true. Uh-huh. Mostly because I really love to learn from the people who are doing the work on the ground. I just think that's awesome.
So now just to let people know, you have a law degree that
I
you could be using, utilizing differently. I'm sure you do with the contracts you have.
Yes. But. Yes. So, yes, I'm a graduate of Chapman Law. Yay, Orange County. And I went into public policy, and then I just decided that it was one thing to fight for the laws, it was another thing to be able to actually see impact on the ground. And I fell in love with philanthropy, and I am so lucky to be in this job today.
Oh, we're lucky to have you.
I am influenced by the people, by my members, and by the nonprofits on the ground. My favorite food from childhood, mm-hmm. my mom made these tacos with fried tortillas. And honestly, it's still my comfort food. Mm. That is my best, my favorite meal.
What were the stuffings? What were inside of it?
Oh, they're very just basic.
Okay.
It was the frying of the tortillas with the addition of chorizo with the okay. with the meat.
Okay.
Yes.
Cheese on the outside or just like?
Just inside.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Recently.
I don't do the cheese on the outside.
It's a delicious little crunch.
And then, yes. Okay, my seat at my table.
Yeah.
I have a very large table. So we're going to talk about like a grand table. So
sure.
My thing is I want to both learn, be entertained, and be comfortable. You might not know it, but I am a super introvert. I need people with me to help me have conversation. Of course, I want Barack Obama because, yeah. I would love Ruth Bader Ginsburg mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. again... RBG, yeah. of course. Yeah. Anthony Bourdain, okay. because he okay. traveled and he connected with people in such an amazing way. Mm. Samantha Brown, any other elder millennials out there who grew up with Samantha Brown? She was a world traveler. She inspired me to travel on my own as a kid. Heather Cox Richardson, who writes Letters from an American, mm-hmm. who I learn from every single day. Pete Buttigieg, because okay. he's awesome.
Yes.
And then my best friends to keep me comfortable.
I think you have something in common with so many nonprofit and philanthropy leaders that people will go, we're so outgoing. And we're all like, we would sit in our pajamas and watch movies.
All day long.
We would. But I hear you. Sometimes I need to be motivated. And like, oh, do I really need to go to that?
People laugh. Like, your job is all networking. And honestly, it's a struggle. But because I love what I do, it yeah. balances it out.
Yeah, the people that are around you that buoy you up
yes,
is
exactly.
wonderful. Taryn, it has been wonderful having you on. I hope the people that are listening today have gotten something about equity and understand the philanthropy world and how hard that is. It's not an easy job to give away money because there are more people who need it than philanthropists have it.
It's true. And they care so deeply about making sure that money has impact.
All right, so we're going to see you on October 3rd at the conference.
October 10th.
October 10th at,
yes.
at the conference.
If you haven't registered yet, make sure you do.
Yeah, I said October 3rd because that's the day that this is coming out today.
And what's the website? How do they find it? Where is
yes.
it at? All the details?
So you can go to Orange County Grantmakers website. It's right on our homepage. It is our Equity Summit. It sells out every year. So if you haven't registered yet, make sure you do. The idea behind the summit is to gather community leaders, nonprofits, business leaders, philanthropic leaders, everyone in between, for a day to pause and to think about the big issues impacting mm-hmm. our community together. So we have an amazing keynote closer conversation, Priya Parker, who wrote The Art of Gathering, which I'm so excited about. An amazing series of breakout sessions throughout the day, and it's really just a celebration, so make sure you don't miss it.
I'm just going to say October 10th and where?
October 10th, the event is at Orange Coast College, okay. and you can register on our website.
Okay. And it's not that expensive, but just to sit on this for a second because of the equity conversation.
Yes.
And we don't normally do this. Normally at the end, we end and we roll out. But we're going to stick on this for a second because this is happening. This is happening soon.
It is happening soon.
The ability for funders to be in a room with nonprofits, and nonprofits know the rules of it's not the place to ask for money. This
yes.
is the place to learn.
Together, yes.
Together. And then the ability to learn together, for the experiences I've had, is not only beneficial to me, it's beneficial to the community. in that equity conversation about smaller, bigger, and larger nonprofits, this is a place where everyone can be in the room,
yes,
and hear the same things and understand and work collectively on those same things.
Exactly. And we have been very intentional over the years to make sure that it remains accessible and equitable to everyone. So the tickets, it's a full-day conference, mm-hmm. breakfast, breakout sessions, lunch, happy hour, closing, all the things that you would expect. And we've capped the ticket at $100.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because the funders in the room have made it important for us to have that conversation.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll just give a good plug. Thank you for having Lauren on our team be on the committee many years ago.
Yes.
Helping to shape this. We really appreciate that. I know there are other nonprofit leaders who have
Absolutely.
Been on that committee.
Yeah, it's planned by nonprofits and funders together to represent that. And I should also shout out to Lauren. She and I were the instigators behind the mixers all those years ago.
Oh, that's true. Y'all like to have fun together.
We like to have fun together.
Y'all like to have fun together. All right. Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Hey, thank you for listening and hope you and your friends join us next time around the table as we continue to explore the intersection of food, people, and culture. That's it. See you later.
Thank you.
There you have it. One more reason to sit down with us each time and join us around the table as we explore a journey into what's happening in the community and how we can all help each other a little bit more. Brought to you by South County Outreach and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.